And then I guess on the second one, if you get the chance to talk to Botto, because obviously he's kind of going through some things, being runner-up here a few times, going through his own drought, if you will, like what you endured. What do you tell him?
Well, I mean, I would echo what I just already said. He is a champion. He's one of the best competitors we have in this field. He's a really nice guy. I every time I talk to Botto, we have great conversations, and I think, you know, we have a lot of respect for each other, so I'm appreciative for the way that he drives. He drove like a champion in this race, and, you know, he's just as deserving of a winner, in my opinion. You know, he definitely could have won this race, so it's tough to not win it, you know. I can't say anything to ease that for him. When you don't win, it hurts, and, you know, I've left here 11 times prior with a broken heart, so I know the feeling. Whether you're close or you're far, it's a broken heart, so I can't ease that, but he's a champion. I think he knows it, and I definitely have a lot of respect for him.
Go ahead, and then we'll go Tony, and then Justin after that. Go ahead.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires, letting that. Today, you know, Larson was up front until he had issues, you know, on pit road, speeding. What was it like for you running around him? Did you notice him at all, or any? He said he wants to come back and do this again. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think he should. He's a great driver. I mean, you know, he's been a joy to have here this weekend. He's been, you know, great to talk to and work with, and as far as on track and. You know, I didn't see him much today. At least I didn't feel like I did. But there was alternate strategies going on, as Jonathan talked about, and I think he was in a different spot to us. But I'm not surprised that he, you know, wants to come back. I'm thankful. I think it speaks volumes for the Indy 500 that he stayed. You know, it just shows the significance of this event, and I'm not surprised he wants to come back. I think it's great for the sport.
Tony.
We've talked a bunch over the last 365 days. You're hungrier to come back this year to win again. You can go for three in a row next year. This is a busy week coming up for you. What's something that you want to make sure that you do that maybe you didn't get a chance to last year when you went to the victory week celebration, obviously going to New York? And then your cool down lap seems like you were still flying out there. Or was that just an excitement level to get to and back into the stands?
Yeah, it was a blur. I mean, you know, it was so intense the last 30 laps that it was difficult to just shut that off. I mean, it was flat out. Like, no one was lifting or giving anything up. I mean, I felt like I was wrecking half the time, and it looked like others were kind of the same way. I mean, it was full on. So when I crossed the line, you don't just shut the engines off. I mean, you're, like, still in full out mode. So I think that's what you saw there. And I was just trying to process it pretty quickly, which is difficult to do in, you know, a minute, trying to get back to the start-finish line.
And then this week, obviously, it's going to be a busy one. You turn around and go to Detroit, but you've got – media obligations, as you know. You learned it last year, but what's something this year you know, make sure that maybe you sink in or, you know, you take in a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm going to just try and be more measured with, you know, I it's very tough. I mean, it sets you back from a commitment standpoint. You got to go so many places. You don't, like, I'm someone that really needs personal time. You know, I value that tremendously. I can't be in front of a lot of people for too long, and unfortunately that's like a big part of the job, especially if you win this race. So I'm going to try and honor my commitments and do a great job for this series and this event, but I definitely need to, you know, measure it more than last year and find some time to get back into the season rhythm.
I think it's called self-care. Is that what the kids call it now?
Yeah, probably.
All right, Justin, then Bruce.
Yeah, Joseph, where does this one rank for you? I mean, because Paddle came in here and so did Scott, talking about how they made moves during the race that could have put them in the wall or spun them out, or any, you kind of echoed the same type of thing. I mean, this race, just from a viewer's perspective, was thrilling and exciting, and you come out on top. So does this rank higher in any of your other wins you've had?
Have you won this before?
No.
I didn't know that. I thought Jonathan had one. Okay, well, because I want him to answer this too. It's very special. You know, I mean, I'll repeat. It was tough not having my normal reality here this weekend, but I was just as excited to have Jonathan and Raul. I mean, I think very highly of these two individuals, and, you know, I've seen them at various points in my career where I thought, you know, maybe I'll have an opportunity to work with them full time on the IndyCar side, and it didn't work out. You know, we've all gone in different career paths, so it ranks the circumstances, the, you know, the camaraderie, the time that we got to spend together. You know, out of chance, this wasn't supposed to happen, and we got this opportunity out of chance, and to be able to pull it off together, it ranks very high for me, very, very high. I don't know that I want to put it first on the list, but I mean, it seems like it probably would be first. It's really, really cool. So, I think it's a good question for Jonathan, too. I didn't realize he hadn't won it. But it's, I mean, it is right up there.
Yeah, like Joseph said, I've, you know, finished second a couple times with Elio when I was his engineer there. And so I know the being so close and not being able to come over the finish line, so to be able to be part of this group and represent a lot of hard work from other people, I feel a little bit guilty in the sense that, you know, I kind of showed up and everything was going smoothly and got the opportunity to be here. But that's what it's like to be part of Team Penske. You know, the opportunities exist on many fronts. And I think, you know, being able to be part of this today is definitely a high point in my career and look forward to more.
Let's get a mic up to, thanks, Justin. Right behind you, Bruce. Thank you. And then we'll stay in the front row after that. And then Tim, go ahead.
Jonathan, earlier this month, Roger Penske got his 100th sports car victory out in Monterey, sure. And you were on top of the timing stand for that.
Yep.
Today, you get Mr. Penske, his 20th Indy 500 win. Those are two pretty special accomplishments that you're personally involved in. So how do you put all that into perspective?
I think this year is probably, you know, is going to go down as a dream year. You know, this group also is part of the Daytona 24-hour win. You know, I talked a little bit about feeling guilty, and I think Joseph said the same thing after the Daytona 24 hours. He kind of rocked up, and, you know, we got the first win after many, many decades. And, I think the biggest thing today we talked about in the race is qualifying on the front row. We could be on offense all day, and I think that's what we were. We were on offense for the last 60 laps. Joseph did a good job saving fuel. We made the strategy decisions to be in a good spot to be able to push hard for the last 60 laps, and I think that's a lot of what Joseph talked about, you know, being worn out and just tired at the end of the race because it was flat out, no fuel saving and big push there. So,
and Joseph, a couple of times you win races, Mr. Penske's brought you ice cream, things like that at Texas. What did he say to you today? What was that moment like?
He was the same RP, you know. I mean, he's not changed. He was happy for the group. You know, when Roger sees everybody execute, it there's nothing that makes him happier because that's what we preach. You know, we try and work together as a team. It is one team. You know, he genuinely does not care which car wins the race. And I think, oddly enough, that's how a lot of individuals feel. Of course, you know, selfishly, we want to win for each car, but you know, when Roger sees us execute as a team and a car win the race and to do it through execution, he's very proud. And like I said, I'm going to tell you, he's going to be on to number 21 now. You know, everyone thought like, oh, he wants 20 and that's his number. But like, he's going to be, okay, how do we get to 21? He might even say something silly like, we got to get to 25 or something. So I just love it. I love his mentality. And, you know, we're always moving forward. And that's what I felt today.
Do you expect this parking space will be changed by the end of the night?
It's probably already changed.
I believe it has changed already.
I'd be surprised if it's not. So.
Time for a couple more. Let's go stay in the front row. Sorry. And then Madeline, you have done a great job last couple of weeks. And then we'll go Timmy. Go ahead.
Joseph, I think this question is a couple for the two of you. I remember you said on Media Day that you have the plan that you must be in the first position or the second one in order to win the race. How do you plan this part of the race? Because I see Jonathan said that you already have something in a strategy because, you know, the draft and all this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, obviously this race has run for over 100 years, and so you can look back at history on where people needed to be to be in a position to win the race. And like I said, with qualifying on the front row, we sort of controlled our own destiny all day. And I think, you know, we had conversations in the strategy meeting of, you know, from lap 0 to 100, we're okay with dropping back to 7th or 8th to save fuel and hit these targets. But as we get closer to the end of the race, we want to be in the top 3 because that's the only way you don't, A, get up caught up in somebody else's mess or control your destiny, like Joseph said. And I think, with 40 laps to go, we were in the group there, and I think the communication is now is time to do your homework. And what I meant by that was learn how to pass, learn how to get the runs, learn how to manage a draft, and learn how to manage the fuel, because it's all going to come down to an all-out blast for the last 15 laps, which is what happened. It takes all the learning, not just from this race, but previous races, to be able to apply that and execute restarts like Joseph had in the last restart, I think it was three wide into turn one, which never really ends up very well. But in the case, I think we picked up four spots and put us back into contention. And then the pass in the last lap in turn three there. So just being at the front all day is really important, because that's what it's going to come down to, and that's what our focus was.
And I kind of asked something similar to Pato. What lesson did you learn, Joseph, from the Stampede Gate that will help you through the year?
Lessons. In an odd way, I think it's I'm grateful for the experience. I think it's good.
Thanks.
It's been a very illuminating experience to me. You know, more from the outside world. And I don't know what I know what I take from that personally. I know what it showed me, which I'm thankful for. I think it shows you things that maybe weren't fully clear, but are very clear now. And I think it's an experience that it's got to either break you or tough you up. And, you know, for me, it's that's all I'll say about it. We've been moving forward. We've never worked together, you know, more as a group than this weekend, and I thought that was difficult to do. This is the most tight-knit team I've ever seen. It's been a pleasure to be a part of it because it's such a well conjoined group. I mean, everybody works so well together. So it's fun to show up here. It's fun to go to work, and I've never had it better than this month. So excited to go forward. You know, we've had a really good time this month.
Final question, Tim May.
Yeah, Joseph, about 30 years ago, Al Unser Jr. made this statement that in the final laps of a race, when you're contending, et cetera, the only thing in his mind that mattered was winning. I mean, trying to figure out a way to win. That didn't mean necessarily be reckless, but put it out there, you know, hang it out on the line. When did you notice coming up that you had that ability, and did you feel that again today of whatever it took?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I thought I misstepped a little bit. You know, the team with me was really, really in step with what was going on and giving me all the right information. And then, you know, it comes down to, you know, trying to make the right moves at the right time. And I think I misstepped a little bit, to be honest, after probably lap 130, 140. And then there was a little bit of a recovery mode to that. But you know, two parts to the question is, you know, when we showed up, we felt like we had a race-winning car. I mean, it was very evident, I think, to all of us. It was evident to me, and I think the team could see it. And we were trying to, you know, put the pieces together correctly and not misstep. And then in the race, it was the exact same deal. I rated in that, you know, this is the car. Like, we're not going to lose this race because of the car. We're going to lose it if we don't do the job correctly. And everybody did the job correctly today, and I think that's why it was pulled off.
Yeah, when you're watching him do it out there on the track, I mean, it's in his hands, so, you know, the last 20 or so laps. What is that like, and what does it tell you about him just one more time of what he's made of?
Yeah, I think, I think I said something at the timing stand. This is the fun part because we can just sit back and be race fans and watch. And to sort of see what happened for those last 20 laps was amazing. And, you know, the crowd that was here today to get to see, you know, the moves that were happening in turn one on the restarts and then in the last lap, it's definitely going to be an iconic race and one that'll be replayed many times because it was nonstop action. And you know, there's a high stress level and everything, but we did our last pit stop. We had enough fuel to push flat out the whole time. So to be honest, we were just race fans at that point. And just feeding the information that Joseph needed about what was happening on around him and then just watching him go to work.
One final question before you take off. There's the BorgWarner bonus that you now know about, but this is the first back-to-back since Elio did it some 22 years ago. Just your thoughts on how rare a feat like that is and how special that is, I guess.
Someone had to reset the bank, and I guess we did. But, no, it was great. I said this a couple times before I got up here, but, I had let go of the thought of winning this race last year. You know, it's so difficult to win. There's no guarantees. That it doesn't matter how good you are, you know, or how well you execute. It does not guarantee a victory at Indianapolis ever. And you know, last year I really started focusing on just the opportunity and saying, you know, this is so fun that we get to show up here and we've got great cars, we've got a great crew, and we have an opportunity to win the race. I know we did. I know we did last year, and I definitely know we did this year. So I just focused on that, and I said, look, if we win it, that's great, but it's the opportunity that's the joy of it. And I say that because it is very difficult to win the race. It's very difficult to win it back-to-back, and I'm over the moon. I've got no words for what we've been able to do. I'm really proud of this team. They deserve it.